All right. This morning, we invite you to take your Bibles. We turn to John chapter 19. We're going to be looking at three verses, John 19, 25 through 27. John 19, 25 through 27. I've entitled the message this morning simply, Mother and Son. We see the last glimpse of the Lord Jesus with his mother before his death in these verses this morning. Mother and Son. John 19, beginning there in verse 25. The Bible says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the day that we can honor mothers and either honor or remember our own mothers. Thank you, Lord, for my mom, who at a young age, for me, read through the entire Bible with me and began to allow you to work in my heart through the Scriptures. I pray, Lord, this morning as we look at your word, we would allow it to touch our hearts, bring honor and glory to you, and also to our mothers. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus has been crucified. Chapter 19, verse 18. Where they crucified him and two other with him. On either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Jesus has been crucified. It was for this purpose that he came into the world. Mary had been told of this when Jesus was 8 days old. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 34 and 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Again, Mary had been told of this day when Jesus was just 8 days old. Luke 2, beginning there in verse 34, the Bible says, And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary kept the words of the shepherds who had come to her on the night of Jesus' birth and pondered them in her heart. We read in verse 19 of the same chapter. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And no doubt, Mary also kept the words of Simeon in her heart as well, as he told her there would be a day coming when her very soul would be pierced through. Of course, that day was the day that we're looking at this morning, the day that Jesus was crucified and bled and died for the sins of the whole world. The sword is piercing through her soul as she sees her dear son, the one that she had brought into the world, the one she had held in her arms so many times, the one who at age 12 had said to her that he must be about his father's business. Now, at this time, he is finishing his father's business. Business given to him by his heavenly father as he hung, bloodied and forsaken preparing to take my sin and your sin and the sin of every human being who would ever live on himself. She was there watching her son, no doubt remembering the day that she watched Jesus take his first step. And now she's seen him step all the way to Mount Calvary and voluntarily give himself up on the cross for the sins of all mankind. He hung there as he offered himself for us. He would suffer and die for all, even his earthly mother. Jesus, in his deepest agony, thinks of others. And we see, first of all, Jesus sees his mother there in the first part of verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, he's hanging there in shame and agony. And he looks down. There's dear old mom standing at the foot of the cross, not forsaking him. And he utters these words, "Woman, behold thy son." As Jesus hung there, again thinking of others, he knew her heart was breaking. My friends, when your heart is breaking, turn to Jesus. He is the dearest friend you'll ever know. And he was there for Mary. In his hour of pain and time of need, he cares for his mother. Jesus was the dearest to her. Jesus was the eldest son. And I know a little bit about this because I was the eldest son in our home of four sons. Jesus was the eldest son, and he was responsible under Jewish circumstances for his widowed mother. It must have caused Jesus great pain and suffering on top of everything else that he was going through to see his mother suffering. You know what it's like when a loved one is suffering and you're there powerless to help. Jesus, in one sense, was powerless, but on the other hand, he had all the power in the world. But he voluntarily submitted to the death that he was about to suffer. It must have caused Jesus great pain as he watched his mother suffering. He wants to see that she is taken care of after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to glory, because she still had many years to live, and Jesus would not be there. In the midst of the most wonderful work ever done in the history of the universe, with a job to accomplish that no one else could do, with the demons and the chiefest demon, Satan himself, gnawing on his soul, as the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, he, in preparing to drink his bitter cup, plans for his mother's care after his demise. My friend, that's my Savior and yours too, if you know him. And I trust that you do know him. If you don't know him, turn to Jesus today and let him be your Savior, your guide, and the one that loves you dearer than your closest friend. My friends, here is Jesus. And he looks down from the cross and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." This term shows no disrespect for Mary. In fact, when he began his public ministry with his first miracle at Cana of Galilee, he addresses her also as, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" And I believe at that time, he begins to switch into his public ministry, preparing for this moment that's happening at this time So the woman phrase is no disrespect, but doubtless again he had called his mother mother many times during his life as he was growing up. But now, as many godly men have pointed out over the years in their commentaries and their understanding of this passage, his death on the cross would make an end of his natural ties. He is beginning a ministry that would be worldwide. And he addresses her as woman, not mother. As Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, in other words, that human relationship, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He is now preparing to return to heaven and to be the Son of God who he always was, but no longer Jesus of Nazareth in one sense, but God the Son, the Savior of the world, arising to newness of life, no longer having that same earthly relationship with those that once knew him during his earthly life. He was leaving the world, but again, as we mentioned earlier, he knew Mary would be remaining for some time. Jesus knew her desolate condition. She would be in the midst of a cruel and wicked world, among whom she was to shine as a light in this world. Does that sound familiar today? Are we not in the midst of a cruel and wicked world that seeks to devour us, to destroy us, to pull us away from the things of God? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, firmly tied to the love of Jesus. We have the same Jesus to help us through the difficulties of this cruel and wicked world. We just turn to him and ask him for help, even as he helped his mother that day. He loved his mother, and he wanted to see that she was taken care of. They say, well, there were other brothers that could have maybe done this. That's true. But you know what? Jesus knew their hearts, and he also knew the heart of John. That's who he's talking about here. John is very humble as he writes this passage of Scripture. He could have said, hey, that was me! It was John! I'm the one that... No, he just says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It almost stays anonymous. Man, if it was you or I, we'd say, man, I get to take care of Jesus' mother. Wow! You know, exclamation marks. But he doesn't do that. He just simply says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. She was going to be in the midst of a wicked and cruel world. And Jesus, knowing all of those things, picked the best caretaker possible for his mother. And assigns this job to the beloved disciple, John. Jesus, with his heart filled with love for his mother, again addresses her as woman. But we must also remember that Jesus was God's Son. And she must begin to see him as her Lord and Savior, not just her son. And she already understood that as she began her journey as giving birth to the Son of God. Because in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, as she was sharing there with Elizabeth, she rejoiced, it says, in God my Savior. So she already understood some of these truths which are now coming home to her as she sees her son hanging on the cross. Jesus was preparing her for the time where she needed to look at him, not just in his earthly relationship with her, but as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and more personally, her Savior. And also, Jesus was building a group of believers who were dear to him as well. You remember the story in Mark chapter 3, verse 35, as Jesus was with his disciples in a home, and his brethren and his mother come. And they beckon him, ask him to come out. And it appears from the context that they think he's gone mad. Who is this one who thinks he's something special? They hadn't quite figured it out yet. And so Jesus, when he was informed that his mother and brethren were outside, says these words, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." These are words of joy and encouragement. He wasn't downplaying his earthly relationships. Jesus was telling us something very special was about to happen in the history of the world. When has there ever been a time when God Himself considered us His children, His brothers and sister and mother? Jesus is equally close, my friends, to all forgiven sinners, even as He was with His earthly family. That makes me, and that makes you, very special in the eyes of God. He cared for His mother, no doubt. But He also cares for us as well. Aren't you glad Jesus cares for you? I'm glad Jesus cares for me. He cares for everyone. And He wants us to turn to Him in faith, believing, so that we can have that special relationship as children of God and joint heirs with Christ, brothers and sisters with Jesus. So He sees His mother. Second of all, Jesus sees John in verse 27. "Then saith he to the disciple." Again, John doesn't even pen his name in it, just to the disciple. But we know from context he's talking about himself as we conclude this book. "Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." Behold thy mother. According to church history, John was the only disciple not martyred. And he outlived, he was young at the time that he was called as disciple. The youngest disciple, as we can understand, John outlived all the other disciples, and he would therefore be there for Mary. As Mary, no doubt, was probably, give or take, 20 years, maybe 30 years older than him. So she would have John to take care of her the rest of her earthly life. So Jesus commits her into the care of the beloved disciple. She needed watch, care, and protection. So why, again, as we mentioned earlier, didn't he call somebody else? Anybody want to challenge Jesus' decision? This was the right decision. Talk about who could have or who could not have, but this is whom Jesus picked to take care of his mother. She was not then, my friends, nor is she now, a mediator between God and man. That's important to understand. We already have one mediator. There is one mediator between God and man. In case you're wondering, the man, Christ Jesus. We have one mediator, and it's Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. It's part of what he's letting us know here, I believe, as he has this earthly relationship ending and letting us know that Mary was special, but she was not co-equal or mediator between God and man. It was a high honor for John that Jesus looks at him and says, "Behold thy mother." Now put yourself in John's position. By the way, we're not told that there were any other disciples there at the cross, are we? Again, we're all thinking, good choice, Jesus. John was the one that needed to be there for Mary, because he was there for Jesus in his darkest hour. But can you imagine what must have been going through John's heart? He shows up, he's seeing Jesus suffer. He sees him in agony, in pain. And then Jesus calls him out and asks him to take his mother and make her his mother. Can you imagine the exhilaration or the fear or the whatever that must have gone through his soul? Wow. Jesus is asking me to take care of his mother. I just can't imagine what it must have been like for John. But Jesus knew his heart, and he knew he was the one to do this for him. It was a high honor that Jesus placed on John. And again, it showed great confidence in the one entrusted with the care of this loved one. John took the charge from his blessed Lord and Savior. He didn't say, you know, give me a week to think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me see what, you know, my family says. Jesus asked him. In fact, he says, behold, thy mother. He said, this is your now your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Adoption complete. Settled, taken care of. No doubt. Jesus requests, John consents. Simple as that. He took charge of Mary for his blessed Lord and Savior. You know, John was there at the cross. He would do anything for his blessed Lord and Savior, including taking care of his dear mother. And so it was a no-brain decision for John to do exactly what Jesus asked him to do. Again, from that hour, John took her into his own home, and he adopted her. Aren't you glad that we can be adopted by God? We can be brought into his family through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as he beckoned John to take Mary as his adopted mother, he bids us to come as children, adopted into his family. To be his children, to be his sisters and brothers and mother. Wonderful relationship that we can enjoy with Jesus today. My friends, as we think of Mother's Day, you think of your mothers. I think of my mother. My mother, as your mother is, not perfect. But I thank God for the lady that God used to bring me to this world. And I hope that you thank God for the lady that God used to bring you into this world. Jesus honored motherhood. You look at Proverbs 21 and the Proverbs 21 lady and how God pours blessing upon that woman that's walking with God. By the way, I'm not going to say a lot about it because Lord willing, in Sunday school next week, commercial, we're going to talk about Proverbs 31 and the 31 lady. But Jesus, again, is the writer of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. He wrote the Scriptures. And he highly honors motherhood. And he honored his mother. And my friends, we ought to honor our mothers if they are still living, and honor their memories if they are not. And Jesus honored his mother. His heart cared for her in his darkest hour. He still looks to others. And not only to his mother, but you know what? On another saying of the cross, Jesus looks down at those that have brutally beat him, put the thorns on his brow, pulled his beard from his face, and he utters these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wants to forgive us today for helping to hang him on the cross if we'll turn to him in faith. He wanted to honor his mother, is another phrase there, as he hung on the cross. And so we see Jesus today on this Mother's Day honoring his mother. And as we think of what Jesus did that day, we need to remember that his heart cares for us today as well. He wants us to be his brothers and sisters and mother, to have that adopted relationship as John was going to enjoy with Jesus' earthly mother. He ever loves and cares for his own. He ever loves us. Mary was well taken care of. Jesus says, behold my mother, and it says from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And she was taken care of for the rest of her life. Mary was well taken care of. She honored her son as well as she could. And he honored her as well. She honored her son. She was with the other disciples in the upper room when the church of Christ was born. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, as they were waiting in the upper room for the filling of the Holy Spirit and for the consumption, inception, get the right word here, for the inception of the local church, God's Spirit indwelling believers in this age, guess who was there with the other disciples? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she became part of the first church in Jerusalem. And she loved her son as his earthly mother, but more importantly, as her dear blessed Lord and Savior. As she became part of the church at Jerusalem, you know what's really neat? One day, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you'll be able to sit down with Mary and hear her story. My mom and her will sit together. I'm going to get a time. We're all going to sit together and talk about motherhood. I hope that you'll be there. And you'll be able to talk with him as well. And thank Jesus for what he has done for you on the cross. Father, we thank you for Jesus in whom we can rejoice. We thank you, Lord, for the words of Jesus from the cross, how they speak down through the generations and centuries and millennia and touch us even today. Lord, if there are some here that are wavering, that have not accepted you, I would pray even today that they would do so. For those of us with mothers still living, that we would today show them the honor and respect and the love that they deserve. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.